Hey, good morning, y'all. This is Tanola Oliver with the Making of the Mogul radio show and magazine. I wanted to talk for one moment to have a foodie talk about shrimp. So people have been asking me about shrimp. And I think just some of the things that people want to know is about the preparation of shrimp. Because as it relates to preparing your own shrimp, because if you don't prepare and wash shrimp properly, it can actually affect the taste of shrimp. And so it's really important to me. So let's talk about shrimp. For me, wild caught seafood is important, right? Wild caught seafood is important because oftentimes it is the fresher seafood. Right. And so I'm not saying that farm raised seafood is not fresh. It just depends on the source, right? Where it resonates from. And so I've seen better results with wild caught seafood. However, I mean, again, it really just depends on where. I mean, because if it really just depends, because if it's wild caught, but the body of water has high levels of mercury and pollution, then really it defeats the purpose, right? And so it really is like, that's why we had to pray over our food, but it really just depends. And so oftentimes, where you purchase, despite whether it's seafood, poultry, beef, pork, where you purchase meat and poultry and seafood has a lot to do with, and typically the prices associated with where the seafood has been harvested or raised. All of the above. So people often ask me about particularly seafood and shrimp because I cook with a lot of shrimp. I've had some, probably out of all of the meals that I've prepared, I can probably remember one time where I had to go back and think about, like, where did I purchase it from? Because it was just really, mercury, like murky, sludgy. I didn't like the taste of the shrimp. And I know it had a lot to do with wherever the shrimp was raised or whatever. And so I use vinegar. Well, first of all, let's start. Okay, so we're talking about whether farm-raised or wild-caught seafood is better, particularly as it relates to shrimp. Yes, shrimp is from the bottom of the ocean, right? So we already know that, but so is crab and so is lobster. So you make a decision whether or not that is the type of food that you want to partake in, right? I particularly wash my shrimp, lobster, and crab legs in vinegar water. It does not change the taste, but it does, after I had that one incident where I felt like the shrimp that I was eating, that something just wasn't right about it. I've been using vinegar and salt water to wash my shrimp, crab legs, and lobster. And the dirtiness of this particular type of food category has changed. Like years ago, like I can remember when the taste shifted in like shrimp and lobster and crab legs, right? And so the preparation is it takes more now than what it used to, right? Like as it relates to like our baked potatoes and like we have to wash things differently than what we did back in the day. So we're talking about food preparation today, obviously. And so my name is Tanola Oliver. I am the host of the Making of the Mogul radio show and magazine. I am also the COO of Elect Leadership Foundation. One of the entities or umbrella companies that is umbrellaed under ELA is the Candy Shop. And so it is a licensed bakery, but oftentimes like for Sundays and holidays, we prepare dishes. One of those things that I prepare the most is seafood, whether it's surf and turf, which it includes steak, and seafood. Yesterday was one of those days. And so we had steak topped with shrimp, choice of sweet potato or white potato, my signature cornbread, which is sweet potato cornbread. You have a choice of whether or not you want to add lobster. And then my signature sweet tea, right? That I've been making since I was a little girl. And so let's talk about food preparation today because it is so essential. So like if you have people that you purchase food from, and so so the chances of dirty food in a restaurant is a lot slimmer than the chances of ill-prepared food that you purchase from a source such as myself. I'm just being honest, right? Someone who prepares dishes and sells them. And so that's why it is so important to know. And really, that's the only reason why I do the videos that I do. And I'll have to pick back up on doing those videos is because you want people to see the cleanliness, right? I posted some pictures of the way I store my cheesecakes and things of that nature. You just want people to be able to see the cleanliness and that you provide these services with a sense of integrity, right? And so as it relates to food preparation, we're talking about the surfaces that you prepare food on and how those surfaces are maintained, what type of surfaces. And then as it relates to seafood, where is the seafood purchased? Where was the seafood raised, particularly shrimp? Because shrimp, lobster, and crab legs, they are bottom feeders, right? So it's really, really important to know the source of where that type of food is originated from, right? And so I attempt to purchase wild caught seafood. However, depending on where it is wild caught, will play a part in whether I decide to purchase farm raised, because it's really about the location, You have to stay up to date on reading as it relates to geographical areas that have had various oil spills and water contamination throughout the years. What geographical areas have been known for high mercury content in the water? Just like the ocean is a serious thing, right? And so that's part of it. And then once it's been caught, picked, packaged, then it's up to you to wash it properly, right? And so I utilize vinegar and water to wash it. As it relates to shrimp, the reason why oftentimes I try to butterfly my shrimp is because butterflying shrimp will, it's a safe way of knowing that you've washed it properly and that it's properly deveined. So butterflying the shrimp is a easy way to know that the veins have been removed from the shrimp, right? And so there's that. We're talking about food prep. And so in addition to that, you don't want to prep poultry, beef, and seafood on the same surface, right? You have to clean in between sources, right? And you also have to cook separately and then combine, right? And so I think those things, I just wanted to talk about that this morning because some people, particularly in this day and age, were asking about proper care of knowing that shrimp has been properly washed and things of that nature. And so I see some things and I want to bring redress to it. So let's talk about wine pairings and seafood. I have some things up. I apologize. I have a few more moments and then we'll end this episode. And so let's talk about wine pairings. What type of wine and what type of seafood? All right. And so, so they say, in particular, I will offer a few of these and then we'll end this episode. So they say lobster is paired well with Chardonnay. So what is the purpose of pairing meals with specific wines? And so the purpose of pairing specific wines with specific types of food, oftentimes it can actually reduce allergies, right? So if you are eating something that has a high acidic value to it, you typically don't want to drink something that has a high acidic value to it because you may not be allergic to either one of them, but the combination of the two can potentially be the reason that someone has an allergic reaction, right? And so the other thing is that it makes the food more enjoyable and palatable when you have the ability to pair wine and a particular meal so that they balance one another. Say, for example, if you're eating something like duck, right? Duck has a specific taste to it that can be it has a loud or pungent taste to it. And so you want, and to balance that out, right? You want to have a wine so you want a wine that is the parallel of the strength of the meal, so that it balances each other out, right? So you don't want to have a real strong wine, right, and have a real strong taste in a meal as well. And so that's the purpose for pairing wines with certain dishes, right? And so shrimp, they say a brut sparkling wine pairs well with shrimp. Clam Sauvignon Blanc pairs well with clams. Caviar and champagne. Oysters and Chardonnay. A lot of people like oysters, get a bad rep, but I'm telling you, if you ever try oysters, and so the more signature restaurant that you attend, the better chances you have of requesting like a customized dish. So if you ever have an opportunity to be in a restaurant where you can request that the oysters are prepared a specific way, I highly recommend asking for the oysters to be steamed, and then bacon wrapped steamed oysters, to the point that the bacon is, that it has a crispness to it when it's wrapped in the oysters, right? And it is amazing. So I know that oysters have a bad rep, but prepared the perfect way, like some people do oysters raw, that's not my thing. Steamed oysters, particularly bacon wrapped steamed oysters, they're very appealing to me specifically. And so anyway, oysters and Chardonnay, crab and Sauvignon Blanc, and let's see what else. Tuna and sparkling wine. Do I do tuna a lot? So if I do if I do sushi, the only two types of sushi that I partake in is tuna and salmon sushi, right? I already said lobster and Chardonnay. So this is like a lobster bisque and Chardonnay. And that's about it on this particular article that I was reading today. And so I just wanted to talk to, I know I had recorded one other episode about pairing wines and particular meals. I wanted to focus on specifically today about seafood and wines, because it's important, particularly with seafood, because seafood is one of those meals that can really have a strong aftertaste to it. Sometimes the reason why people don't have the ability to really, really enjoy the taste of a meal is often because they have mispaired it with the wrong wine. And so when you can pair the right wine with the right seafood, it offers the ability to be able to enjoy the meal to the utmost, right? And so that's all I have for you today, because somebody reached out to me about the preparation of shrimp in particular. and I knew exactly what they were talking about because I've had one bad experience with shrimp. But I don't, I think more so than anything, it had a lot to do with where the shrimp was raised and where it was originated from. All right, that's it for today. And so you can still order Outliers. It is the lived case study of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, who is really, I think he was recently back in the news again. This time it's been all good things, right? All good stuff. And so a few weeks ago, he was in the news about, well, it's been three different reports, business reports, as it relates to Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. I think the first one was he was entertaining purchasing. Who was he entertaining purchasing? It was a movie studio, I want to say, in New Orleans. That was the first thing we heard. And then next we seen something about I don't know if the building was in New Orleans, but it was like a 900,000 square foot building it was reported that he was looking at a 900 square foot building. And then 900,000 square foot building. And then recently in the news, we've seen something about him entertaining the purchasing of BET, the BET Media. So I don't know if BET has different divisions, or like if different divisions of BET has different owners, because BET is a very large network. And so run across that information on the internet as well. And so it's been all good stuff in the news about Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. What else have we seen in the news as it relates to business? What is the name of the company? I'm so sorry. I did not, this was somewhat spontaneous today. I did not prepare to have this conversation this morning. Typically, you know, I prepare all of my reports for my radio show, but I didn't do it today. I just wanted to jump on here and talk about food preparation for a moment because I had seen some information and some posts, and someone had reached out to me about preparing shrimp. Disney World. So, you know, the writers have went on a strike. I think it was it the Southwest, so I know it was the Writers Guild, but it was one specific branch of the Writers Guild that went on strike, if I'm not mistaken. And Disney World stays in the news, right? And so particularly since they had a new CEO, Disney hasn't really stayed in the news. And so it is reports that Disney is forcing its writers to work through the strike that was just announced. What was it, last week? And so Disney is forcing the writers to remain on staff. And the only way potentially you can do that is to threaten job security, right? Like if you strike, then like you're out of a position, right? And so there's that. I'm not going to talk about the Usher and Chris Brown fight. It was Chris Brown's birthday. Chris Brown and Usher, they have been friends for many, many years. And so whatever scuffle Chris Brown and Usher, whatever that was about, that was a friendship thing, right? And so people have tuned into it, but I'm sure that they were back talking and amicable the very next day. So, what else? Oh, this is what I was, something I had read the other day. It looks like California is about to be the first state. And I'm really shocked because I thought Colorado was going to be the first, was going to be the first state because Colorado has been the first to do a lot of things, like in my lifetime in particular. But California too, but Colorado really has, like as it relates to lawmaking and setting precedents for a way of doing business and empowering its constituents to have choices to do the right thing and legalizing specific markets and industries and things of that nature. Colorado, I think, leads that endeavor, right? And so I was really shocked when California, I see them as the first state that will probably pay reparations to African Americans. And so about in 2020, I want to say, there was a coalition that was created in California to really have a serious conversation about reparations. And so what this particular coalition, what they did was they hired economists to do a study, and this has been in the works since 2020. They hired economists to do a study to rate and predict the economic impact of slavery on African Americans and to bring redress to the economic gap, wealth gap between African Americans and other races using slavery of from ancestors as a catalyst as to why African Americans have not been able to catch up as it relates to wealth and financial stability. And so I want to get a hold of those reports because I hope that within those reports somewhere it addresses the divorce rate amongst African Americans. As I could see from just a surface level, it didn't bring any redress to divorce and the higher rate of divorce amongst African Americans. It talked more just about several factors. I didn't see divorce as one of them, but like socioeconomic factors. However, I think divorce should be one of those parameters that should bring some redress should be brought to. However, I do believe that in this lifetime, like within the next 5 years or less, that California is probably going to be the first state that pays reparations, and I'm saying billions of dollars to African Americans because of the effects of slavery on modern day economic stability, economic stability for African Americans. All right, so I have a meeting. That was my notification. And so this is Tanola Oliver. Purchase Outliers. Order something from the candy shop for Mother's Day. If you like to sow a seed into the foundation, you can do so at dollar sign, SAOTROOM. Until we talk to each other again, I live in the overflow. Shalom. Utilizing a budget is the beginning of knowledge for increasing income. Hello, my name is Tanola Oliver. I am the COO of Elect Leadership Academy. I am also the host of the Making of the Mogul radio show and magazine. I am pleased to present with the LA Foundation a 5-day work intensive on household budgeting. This course is for the advanced and for the beginner. Key takeaways include budgeting for travel and entertainment,
learning budgeting tactics to save, creating a plan that's easy to follow, knowing when to adjust budgets, and number five, really, what is the intentionality for creating budgets? My purpose and what I do best is reading budgeting statements and creating budgets. I've been doing it for several years for major corporations and organizations. I am bringing this particular skill set to your household to teach you how to look for opportunities where you're leaving money on the table for your household. You could be utilizing that money to save, or you could be utilizing that money to pursue your dreams. I'm excited about interacting with you in this particular 5-day intensive workshop, and I'm also excited about helping you create opportunities for advancing your household budget and creating opportunities for income. Again, my name is Tanola Oliver. I am with the ELA Foundation. Look for the link to register, and I'll see you soon. Live in the overflow. Peace.